to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday evening?
James, my body hurts. Other than that, I'm fantastic. long weekend, a lot of stuff going on, weddings, bachelor parties for other weddings that I'm not even going to. Really weird. Anyways, I got this bruise. Look at this bruise. Look at that bruise.
Nice, nice.
Anyways, paintball for the first time in my life. That was a good time. James, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good on the mend myself as well. Wasn't feeling so hot the other day with some back pain. That's rough, but feeling a lot better. I bet you know who else is feeling really good these days is your good buddy, Nick. Tell us about that, man.
My ex-roommate, Mr. Nicholas Pretzel. Don't worry, half of his stuff is still in my basement. He got married on Friday, last Friday. That is correct. A Friday wedding. Congratulations. We clap for you. Congratulations.
Congrats
to you and Miss Sarah. So Mr. and Mrs. Nick and Sarah Pretzel. That is correct. Not spelled the same as the pretzel you eat, but pretzel nonetheless. So we give you guys a congratulations here and a shout out on Steelers by the Lake podcast. So yeah. And Nick's a good supporter of the podcast as well. He talks to us all the time. He's a good fan, a good friend, a good fan of Steelers as well. So, I'm sure we'll be seeing him more now that he's not stress planning a wedding, so we'll see how that works out.
Big congrats to the happy couple, that's for sure. Also, in Steelers related news, yeah, we're gonna switch gears already. Happy retirement to BJ Finney.
Yeah, is he happy? I don't know.
I bet he made it in the league long enough to be fully vested, so he's got health insurance the rest of his life for free now.
That's fair. I suppose that's
it's
fair.
Only like 5 or 6 years you got to make it, and he made that. So,
dang! Imagine, listen, if I could have made it 5 years as a practice squad player, would have been set.
Yeah, man.
Darn.
That's it. That's it.
I'm just messing around, but yeah.
You're
so
young. Get in the weight room.
No, I'm not young anymore. I will get in the weight room. I plan on getting in the weight room very, very soon. But BJ Finney did retire, so we congrats to him again. Speaking of players who are retired or might be forced into retirement, Deshaun Watson has a 24th lawsuit pile on against him and a total of 66 massage therapists that Deshaun Watson had while he played in the NFL or while he was whatever.
It was a 3-year stretch, 66 of them, bro.
And there's a lot of talk. I don't know what's real or what's not, so I'm just going to kind of say what's been said with no expectation on what's actually true. There's talks about how Houston was involved in setting up the rooms for him to get massages in. There's talks about how Houston knew, his agent knew this, that, the other, which I heard a lot of this talk on the Pat McAfee show, which Pat McAfee being an ex-player, Clay Matthews as well. AJ Hawk. Why did I say Clay Matthews? Whatever. Packers linebacker.
Packers linebacker.
But listening to them both talk, you know, a lot of the times they'll schedule things for physical therapy and stuff in a hotel room under a fake name. So players don't have to be worried about people coming and freaking out about who's in the room, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It makes sense, but super sketchy, especially when you view it in the light that might be shining on the situation here with Houston and Deshaun Watson. So the question here is, will Deshaun Watson ever play in the NFL ever again? And on top of that, Carolina's making a big push to trade for Baker Mayfield. And I think Carolina's making the big push now because they know what's going to come. They're going to want to keep Baker when Deshaun Watson gets suspended from the NFL for life. And they want Baker Mayfield before that happens.
Yeah, the more and more of these women that come forward, and I've heard rumor that there's actually been additions to that 24 number within the last couple of days, which is even worse for them. It's just a huge black eye for the NFL. You know, they always do all these months of awareness for abuse and for this and that and all these different topics. Well, you can't go marching one of these guys like this out as one of your marquee players. For an up-and-coming team, you know, Cleveland's been on the rise the last few years, and you had a squeaky clean profile of a quarterback in funny commercials all the time and leading the team to wins, and you ditch him for a guy with a really, really bad reputation right now. Just a, a shame to see Cleveland make such a ridiculous blunder. But I don't
are
think
we
the
surprised?
NFL is, no, no, not at all.
Okay, just making sure.
Not at all. I just feel like the NFL can't just sit there and say, oh, well, you know, 4-game suspension. I don't think they have that option now.
Nope.
The more women that keep coming forward, the more details that we're hearing that are really kind of shocking as far as his behavior with these women. Honestly, it seems as though each one of these women, he kind of treated them like a prostitute, which is awful.
Which is not what they were there for, to clarify. These were actual massage therapists.
Yeah.
Like licensed massage therapists, like very official. And so, yeah, very, very messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, so very poor behavior on his part. I personally think that they're probably not going to do a season-long suspension. I think it's going to be an indefinite one at this point.
I would agree with that.
Because I think you have to go that route, because then that gives you the option of saying, well, you know what? Indefinite is now going to be 3 years, or indefinite is, well, we're never going to let you back in the league because this was just too gruesome of an act, or whatever it may be. But we could be looking at a lot of Jacoby Brissett this year, because I don't think Baker will play for them regardless of how this turns out.
I agree with that for the most part. There is a side of me that thinks Baker would do it for the fans.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
I don't know.
All the trash they talked on him, man.
Well,
they boot him out of town.
I don't think the fans boot him out of town as much as the freaking...
They turned on him last year, man.
I know a lot of Browns fans that were like, no, Baker will be fine, give him another year. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, all the ones I knew, there was only one that was still trying to back him. All the rest of them were saying, get him out of town. He's awful.
Was it your wife?
Yeah, she was backing him. She's a smart lady.
I will be very interested to see how this goes out. Again, this is a Steelers podcast. We're talking about a division rival here. I don't want to go too deep into this because, quite frankly, it's disgusting. It's disturbing. It's not okay. And that's the mindset that James and I both have on it, and we're going to keep it at that.
Absolutely.
We believe that until he's proven innocent, 24 or up to 66 times, whatever, Deshaun Watson should not be playing in the NFL, period. With that being said, someone who also shouldn't be playing in the NFL because they're a front office guy, Steelers hire a guy by the name of Mark Sadowski.
That was one of the craziest transitions we've ever had, Cody.
Mark as the director of player scouting. So that should be the final front office move. Should be.
Yeah. Yeah, and another hire where we've got a guy, Mark Sadowski, I understand, had some background with Omar Khan, the new general manager, back way back in the day, like college years kind of thing. But he had 17 years with the Chicago Bears, most recently their director of player scouting, and there was a front office change there, so that always pushes people out, and then they bring their new people in. And then previous to that, 8 years experience with the Saints organization. So we're talking about a guy 25 years experience in the NFL in front offices, working in scouting specifically. So this is now the third hire that Pittsburgh has made with people with 20 plus years kind of experience on their resume in scouting, and not just being a scout, but being in charge of scouts, in charge of scouting process. So fantastic to bring another smart individual like this in, another guy with an eye for talent. Let's see what he can find for us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of finding talent, Pittsburgh needs to find another player. Steelers are still sitting at 89 players on their active roster, and they can have 90.
Yeah, kind of a weird thing going on here. Typically this kind of year, when one guy goes down, whether you cut him or somebody gets injured and you're released injured or whatever it may be, they sign somebody within like 24 hours. They've been sitting at 89 guys for a good week or more. Cody's saying he'll sign.
They're waiting.
He'll take
for
that
me.
Minimum contract.
Oh, I would. Oh, my. Oh.
You cool with that $750,000?
You could give me below minimum and I'd be down.
Players union wouldn't like you too much.
Well, listen, I'd be like, I'm not a player. I'm the player. I'm playing the system here. Let's go. Watch me long snap. Okay.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to round out the kind of pre-news before we go into the breakdown. Oh, you got something else?
Well, and just on that real quick, it seems as though some suspicion out there on some other podcasts, and that's the reason I'm bringing this up, some well-known ones, a.k.a. Steelers Depot and Terrible Podcast, their guess is that Pittsburgh is actually in the works at looking at a higher value free agent, somebody that didn't get signed yet, or maybe even somebody that gets cut in this upcoming wave. Because this time of year, and even in training camp, you start seeing guys cut. I know, Cody, you were talking about the outside linebacker that was recently released by the Bears that might be a good fit for the system.
Yep.
So somebody like that, maybe even somebody a little higher marquee that just hasn't signed yet. Because he didn't get an offer as high a dollar amount as what he would want. And Pittsburgh's sitting about $21 million under the cap right now, with the only person left to sign is their first round pick, Kenny Pickett, and that's not going to take up that much space.
Yeah, looking at the list of notable free agents, I can't imagine them going with a wide receiver or tight end or anything like that. But defensively, defensive-wise, there's a couple names that stick out. You got Anthony Barr, the linebacker who recently played with Minnesota. Last I checked, he is still a free agent. And then you also have the defensive end, Trey Flowers, older, but capable. And when you lose someone like Stephon Tuitt, not saying he could come in and play this exact role of Stephon Tuitt, but you never know. Trey Flowers might be able to come in on a smaller deal if no one's obviously bigger than we paid somebody else. But you never know. Those are just two that I also had in mind looking at the top guys available. So with that being said, we are now going to move on to the player breakdown, the positional breakdown of the wide receivers and running backs first. So we'll go over those two rooms, break down the players in the room and kind of what we expect to see from them and, or hope to see from them, I should say, moving forward. James, who are we going to start off with?
I think if we're going to start running backs, which is where I feel we should start with the biggest, the strongest, the beefiest of all of them. That's our first round pick, Mr. Najee Harris.
Najee
had a nice first season. Really didn't have much running room most of the year, but it got a lot better as the year went on, I felt. So we got to see really his best work later on in the year. Really excelled receiving the ball out of the backfield. I know a lot of people had high expectations there, with probably the best we've ever seen being the former running back, Le'Veon Bell. He had excellent hands. He was great receiving the ball out of the backfield. Najee showed real soft hands. So the potential of what he could become with a better offensive line, with a more capable passing game, with bigger lanes to run in, and now bigger and stronger than he was last year too. I'm really excited about the future of Najee Harris, at least as long as he's going to be with the Steelers, which obviously I feel his first 4 years and probably the fifth year option are basically a lock.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with him as a player and what he brings to the table for Pittsburgh, but it kind of drops off a little bit after that. What are your opinions? What do you got on Najee?
Yeah. So Najee, I mean, I like him off the field as well. I think Najee's a phenomenal person, a phenomenal teammate, a phenomenal player. All of the above. I think he's very coachable. He's flexible. He's a genuine person. And when I see someone like that come through Pittsburgh, it makes me happy because I feel like it reminds me so much of players that I grew up loving with Hines Ward and freaking Troy Polamalu. Maybe not Joey Porter. But like all these guys that were just genuine people outside of the football like stadium and outside of the cleats. So Najee really fits the mold when you think about, you know, hard-nosed, going to fight for every yard kind of football player, but at the same time, a genuine guy. Like, always gets up smiling, always in it. It's like Hines Ward Jr. going on, and I freaking love it. So, and you're right, the talent drops off pretty heavily after that, at least as far as what we've seen so far, what you'd have expected. You have Benny Snell, who's 5'10", 224 pounds, a little bit smaller than Najee, but again, Benny Snell out of Kentucky. We haven't seen much from him. We got to see a decent amount of him last year, but we saw almost nothing.
Yeah, I feel like he had one game where he had over 80 yards rushing where he was kind of featured when Najee was not playing. Mm-hmm. And past that, whenever he came in games, I don't know if it was just no blocking or a lack of vision or a lack of explosiveness being a bigger back or what it was, but we really didn't see a lot of pop other than the one game. And now he's got 2 years under his belt too. So it's like, do you expect him to take that next step being a better than average back as the number one backup? Because right now he's the number one backup.
Yeah. And which need he that could. Guy to, he could take that step.
I mean, he had like 10,000 yards in his college career rushing.
Yeah.
And the guy's got plenty of talent rushing the ball.
And we saw little moments with him in the year prior, before we drafted Najee. We got to see a little bit of him. And he had moments where he showed something good and big. Like, was the blocking just that much different? Was the offensive coordinator not calling run plays that he was comfortable with? What was it? And can we see this improve? That's where my mindset is on Benny Snell right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, we have to be realistic in knowing that, you know, the loss of Villanueva, Pouncey, and DeCastro did make the offensive line a lot worse.
A lot.
It absolutely did. But they've been making the right steps in trying to improve those units. So I'm really looking and hoping to see a nice improvement out of Benny Snell. He's got the preseason to show what he's capable of. He's probably going to get plenty of snaps, realistically, because they're going to want to know. And after him, you look at Anthony McFarland as being the only other back with probably a really good shot of making the team, you would think. Mm-hmm. Again, another mid-round pick. I think Snell was a fourth round. Anthony McFarland was third or fourth, wasn't he?
I don't think
he was a fifth round. But that was just what Pittsburgh kept on doing year after year. Third, fourth round, they'd grab a running back. Connor, I think, was a third round pick. And so many of them were in that third, fourth round. And never a high enough investment to get a guy with enough talent to actually make a splash. McFarland's actually a very good athlete. And we started to see him get the opportunity. He was fourth round, Cody.
Fourth round, Anthony McFarland, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So we started to get to see him with some opportunity as far as the kick return unit. I'd like to see him on some kick returns possibly.
Yeah.
But we need to see more out of him as a running back. If he's going to show what he's capable of, if he's worth keeping past his rookie deal, or does Pittsburgh need to this upcoming season think about in the draft going, you know, fourth or fifth round again as a backup running back, because these guys just aren't panning out as an acceptable level of what you're looking for.
Yeah. And I think the next group of guys we can kind of talk about quickly, because there's not much to talk about them. Obviously Trey being the brother of Terrell Edmonds, who's the safety on the team for at least one more year. Pittsburgh has done a good job at keeping family together, which has been weird and cool all at the same time. You think about Derek Watt and TJ Watt. You think about the Jones brothers we had for a while. Then we had the two defensive linemen. Why can't I think of their name?
Davis brothers.
Yes, the Davis brothers, Carlos Davis. Yep. And then even Khalil. And then obviously the Edmund brothers. So they've done a good job at keeping family together. And now the Hayward brothers. So
yeah,
we'll get to that on next week's episode when we talk about fullbacks and tight ends. But so Trey Edmonds obviously has the value there of family.
And special teams. I think that's one of the things that keeps him around is when we start losing guys in the linebacker room, Trey Edmonds is skilled enough to play in both the coverage units and also in the kicking units.
Yeah,
the blocking units. So he's good tackling on special teams. He's good blocking on special teams. Because he's in around that size of like a small-ish middle linebacker. So I feel like that's kind of why he's been kept around. Like the year that we had so many middle linebackers get injured, he got called up. And I don't think it was because he was a good running back. It was because he was a good running back slash middle linebacker type body to play special teams.
Yep. And let's be real. He probably plays scout middle linebacker positions for practice sometimes. I guarantee it. Why not? A lot of the times those teams will have, you know, offense, defense together. You got to have people in there who are going to be mocking what the other team has. So, And Trey Edmonds could be mocking that. So the next two guys are just undrafted free agents. Nothing too crazy here. Durant and Warren. Is it Mako?
Mateo
Durant and Jalen Warren.
He's one of the two of them with the bigger resume.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that he's got a possibility of maybe sneaking onto the roster. But again, it's not because of the extreme talent from him. It's just the lack of talent from the other guys so far.
Yep.
And this is one of the positions where there is some rumor that maybe Pittsburgh's looking at like a veteran backup running back, try to bring in somebody with a little bit of a resume in case you need to give Najee a breather and or worse yet, something happens and Najee has to miss a couple games.
Yeah, the benefit with Durant over the other guy is Durant was a little bit more of a receiving back at Duke. So there's potential there as well. But that's going to do it for the running back room.
Yeah.
Time for the wide frickin' receivers. And there's a lot of them.
It's a weird place for a frickin', but I like it.
Yeah, whatever. Sometimes you just got to frickin' add a frickin' somewhere, frickin'.
You know who's frickin' really good? That Pro Bowl wide receiver, Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson. Little guy, only 5'10". I'm as tall as Deontay Johnson, which is weird to me.
Not me. 5'10", that's tall, man.
Are you 5'8"?
9.
Oh. Wait, yeah. Then what are you? These days, then what are you? You said 9. Is that no in German?
9.
Oh, man. We're getting loopy here, guys. It's okay.
Yet.
So Deontay Johnson, obviously the number one guy with the loss of Juju. Deontay Johnson, quick, agile, can play in the slot, can play on the outside, can spread the field deep, can potentially get open over the middle, quick slants, quick outs. There's a lot of potential with Deontay, and just unfortunately, he just can't keep his hands on the ball all the time. Now, again, we bring this up a lot, and I don't want to do that too much. Deontay did do a better job last year than he did the year prior. He was leading the league the year prior, and last year I don't believe that was the case. So Deontay showed improvement, but now all of a sudden wants a big payday, and I don't think Pittsburgh's ready to do that, and I think this is the year that he needs to realize he needs to buckle down and prove his worth, because then Pittsburgh will probably pay him, let's be real. I don't think Pittsburgh would let two wide receivers go, Juju and him.
Especially if he can buckle it up with the hands, you know. I feel like 2 years ago, you know, he led the league in drop passes and everybody was really concerned about it. Last year, his drop pass issue didn't really come around until like week 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. The first half of the year, he did a fantastic job of catching every ball thrown his way. So I was really happy with the progress he made. It was just tough to see the regression at the end of the season. And I feel like that's probably what has Pittsburgh hesitant on extending him. That and the fact that I truly believe they won't extend him before they get Minkah Fitzpatrick done. I think he's the priority to him. He's the better player of the two. He needs to be locked down first, and then you can talk about doing a player like Deontay. My thing here, I'll tell you what, with $21 million almost in cap space, a little over $20 million I think is what they have right now, I'd front load these deals. Put as much of it on this year's cap as you can to free up more space in future years. That way you have it. Get it out of the way now. You know, they always end up backloading deals, and it'll be like $7 million against the cap the first year, $8.5 million the second year, $10 million the third year. And everybody's contracts are structured that way typically. Do one of them where the first year it hits for $15 million and then it tails down to like $10 million a year or something.
Yep.
Get it out of the way. And then that'll leave you more space in future years for other players.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't argue with that at all. Again,
it's rare that we have this kind of cap space.
It'd be very nice rare.
To use it up and free up some future year stuff.
Yeah. Again, Deontay Johnson had a bad year. Pittsburgh said that's okay. We'll give you another shot. He has a fairly good year, Pro Bowl year. Let's be real.
It's a Pro Bowl year. It's a good year.
And then Pittsburgh's saying, okay, prove us that that's not a fluke.
Yeah, it's not a fluke.
Do it again. And I don't mind that. So we'll see what happens. Second guy on the list, Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool had a phenomenal rookie year, busting out for like 11 touchdowns or something crazy, including on the ground. A wild game in Denver or against Denver. I can't remember if it was in Denver or not, where he scored, I think, 4 total touchdowns on the game. Just crazy freak athlete. Just haven't been able to see him consistently prove that he can high point the ball deep, that he can catch him on the sidelines. There's been a lot of mishaps with him. I think Chase Claypool is the real deal. I just think he's been in his own head. I think he was distracted by something last year. I'm not trying to overlook it, but I just feel like something was off last year. Something just seemed.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to find his way too. You know, whatever role he was going to have at the beginning of the year changed as soon as Juju got hurt. And now maybe he's being asked to step into a different role, maybe a more prominent role. Maybe he's not used to the attention he was getting. Regardless, it was a little bit of a recession, most specifically with the touchdown numbers. His catches and yards weren't too far of a drop off from first year to second year. But getting in the end zone was.
Yeah.
And that's something that's noticed. So I feel like we're looking for that step back more towards the first year. with Chase. I think Chase can be the real deal. I think he's got all the talent in the world. If he can put it together, man, I would love to see him be a guy that Pittsburgh extends after his rookie deal is done. But he's only 2 years into it. This will be his third year. Yeah. So he's got two more years to show what he's made of. And really to fight off these rookies, which is where we're going to go next, right?
Yeah.
The rookies drafted in this year's class with George Pickens and Calvin Austin III. George, the taller guy of the two of them, Calvin Austin III, the smaller guy, but incredibly fast with that 4.32 40. George Pickens, no slouch himself. He ran a 4.47, but that again was like something like 8 months after an ACL surgery. So that's not even his full speed, which is pretty impressive also. I'm really excited about both these rookies. I think they're shoo-ins as far as making the team. And the possibility of really spreading open the offense and what you can do with weapons like these is really exciting to me. I can't wait to see them in preseason and more so even in the regular season.
Yep. The two things I'll say about these guys is George Pickens, I think, because we haven't seen these guys play specifically at the NFL level, I'm just going to say two things that I believe these guys need to work on in order to be successful at the NFL level. One, George Pickens needs to work on his aggression. George Pickens can't be picking fights with every single player and throwing haymakers. Can't happen. Not at the NFL level. It's just not going to fly, especially in Pittsburgh, to clarify.
Calvin temper.
Yeah. Calvin Austin III is going to have to prove that he can create separation in the slot, because let's be real, they're probably not going to line him up outside very often with Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, I think, and George Pickens, quite honestly. So I think Calvin Austin's going to succeed in the NFL with Pittsburgh this upcoming year if he can get separation in the slot, whether it be on out routes, seam routes, in routes, whatever, and then the ability to make plays after the catch is where Calvin Austin is going to succeed with that blazing speed. So that's all I have to say about those guys. Then we get on to some guys who have been in the year for 4 years, a couple of them actually.
Yeah, three in total. So we're looking at Miles Boykin, Gunnar Olszewski, and Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller, former second-round pick from the Chicago Bears. Gunnar Olszewski, actually a Pro Bowler himself, coming out of New England as a Pro Bowl return man.
Yep.
Not in for his wide receiver skills. Those aren't quite as polished. But neither are the skills of Miles Boykin. Miles, I believe, was also a fourth-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens. They released him. Pittsburgh was able to claim him off waiver, so he's technically on the fourth year of his rookie deal, even though we didn't draft him. And Gunnar Olszewski, we just signed to a 2-year deal. I want to say it was like $2.5 million a year.
Yeah.
I expect Gunnar to make the team just because he is so good as a return man.
Yep.
Gunnar being 6'1", 190, Boykin, a bigger guy at 6'4", 220, does have the ability to excel as a gunner, and also a jammer on special teams. They might both be really making their mark as far as special teams. Just one more as a return guy, one as a cover guy or a blocker on the outside.
Yeah.
And a really nice physical ability when it comes to Miles Boykin. Anthony Miller, more of a slot receiver who just didn't work out in Chicago. But this was in Chicago's offense was pretty bad.
And notable that they also had Mitch Trubisky at that time. So there's some, could be some connection there with the quarterback that should be starting. So,
And then he had a tough time last year getting off the practice squad with us. He was on the practice squad and actually stayed on it when the guy behind him on this list, Steven Sims, who was also a wide receiver on the practice squad last year, got called up to the 53 for a game or two. So it was weird. We all thought that Anthony Miller would be the guy get called up, especially with his resume.
Yep.
And then ended up being Sims, who's also a slot guy, jitterbug, return experience. That sort of thing.
Yep.
So be interesting to see. Next guy is kind of one of your boys, right? Cody White.
Cody White. He's only my boy because he's Cody. But whatever. I just
100%.
Listen, I almost took that further and just did the whole name, but it would have sounded really bad, so I didn't. Because also he's not. Anyways. it would have been bad. Sure. We're moving on from it. But Cody White had some playing time. He didn't really make any crazy good plays. trying to make up an excuse.
No, I feel like Cody is just another guy, you know, he's 6'3", 215, so good size, but he's never going to blow away with his speed or his route running or any of that stuff. He's just another guy on the roster.
Another guy on the roster. That's totally fine. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe he'll ride the practice squad, be there for an injury. Two guys go down. He might be the guy called up. We'll wait and see what happens. Who knows?
He knows the playbook, at least. He's been around a few years on the practice squad.
Yep, that is fair. Next two guys are undrafted free agents. Tyler Snead and is that another Tyler we got? We got two Tylers? Yeah.
Tyler Vaughns and Tyler Snead.
We'll take them. One's very small at 5'7", 174 pounds. The other one's fairly large at 6'2", 184 pounds. 10-pound difference with, like, a lot of inches.
Yeah, 7-inch difference in height. I guess Tyler Vaughn's a pretty skinny guy.
Yeah, it's wild.
Look for them to get some play with Chris Oladokun. Those are going to be his boys right there.
This preseason, baby.
If Chris gets in the fourth quarter in those preseason games, these are the guys he's going to be throwing to. Cody White, Stephen Sims, Tyler Snead, Tyler Vaughns.
Maybe Anthony Miller. Maybe.
Maybe Anthony Miller. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Cool. I think he might get a little more time in that, like, second, third quarter kind of range.
I know.
But, which is good for, like, whoever gets in as the second quarterback. Let's
correct.
Be real. You
correct.
Know? For Mason, for
you get
Kenny,
a veteran. We don't. Well, we care about Mason for trade value. That's all.
Yeah, we want him to look good in the preseason so we can get something in a trade.
Yeah. This trade falls through with Baker and Carolina. Carolina trades with us for Mason Rudolph and gives us a third-round pick, calling it right now.
And some people say that once Baker gets dealt, then Mason's going to be one of the most next targeted guys by teams to try to bring somebody in to fill out their depth chart, whether it be upgrading the backup quarterback position or if somebody gets somebody injured or whatever.
If you need a cocky cheerleader on the sideline, you got it. That's your man.
There you go, man. I mean, he's pretty. You might as well make him
ew. Why would you say that on the podcast?
He's a pretty boy.
Stop. No. All right.
He's out there dating models and stuff. You got to be pretty to do
that. After freaking Joshua Dobbs did.
Hey.
Okay. Anyways, that's going to wrap up the positional breakdown for halfback room, running back room, whatever you want to call it, and the wide receiver room. Again, next week we'll be going over the new Steelers news, whatever comes out, and going over the tight end and fullback room. So keep an eye on that. Let us know if you guys have any input on that, and we look forward to hearing from you guys again. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching on YouTube. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace. Ring the bell.